Hey everybody, another episode of the Crazy People Podcast. Today from Leaf Home, Nick Hall. What'd you think, Maurice?
I've never talked to anybody who was so focused as he is. I tried to push and pull him into other directions, but he was like, nope, this is what we're going to talk about,
Yeah.
right? I admire him for his foundations, for his focus, for his core values. And I have a feeling that spoke to you as well, right?
Oh yeah. But I think the coolest part of the interview is when you said, "Hey, so what's next?" And he goes, "Nothing. I'm right. I'm focused on this thing. That's it." But then also he went really deep about his foundation, his core values, and how maintaining that foundation and maintaining that focus is so important to him, which was just. And like I said in the interview, I think it's a thing that too many people miss these days because there's so much fighting for our attention. And I think he's got his head turned around straight.
Yeah, and Russ, you know me, right? In my head, there's a lot of traffic up there. There's a lot of mess going around. So I admire this, that somebody can have a singular focus on whatever he or she is doing right now.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing to me.
Yeah, you all are going to enjoy this. Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned.
All right, here we go.
Because really, what could go wrong once you press record,
Exactly.
right?
What could go wrong? It's all going to be very perfect.
Welcome everybody to another episode of Crazy People Doing a Podcast, the Crazy People Podcast. Over here in Window 3, I am Russ Brummel. Over on the other side is the Captain of Curiosity, Maurice Hoffman, and in the hot seat in between us today, Nick Hall. Welcome, Nick. Good to see you, man.
Hey, good to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
So yeah, thanks for being on. Thanks for taking the time. If you so were, please give us a bit of a background, your origin story, so that we can get started.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Nick Hall. I have been an entrepreneur all my life, from the young ages of the classic lemonade stand story to selling MacBooks back in high school, making more money than the day job that I was working. Then went to school, didn't know if I really wanted to go to school. Parents were like, you're going to school. Great decision. Glad I did. Started a couple of businesses within school. Most were not successful. $152 in sales, I wouldn't consider, even with inflation, still doesn't sound good. And then started a window cleaning business, actually. That was very successful within the first 3 months. Went and worked. Took a semester off of school, was ahead enough on the hours that I took a semester off of school and went to go work for a big consulting firm, and found real quickly that that was not my style, and was like, I will do anything and everything to go start my own thing. Started my own thing, ended up selling it a little bit over a year-ish ago, and then ended up joining Team Leaf Home. So that has been my story, and we can go deeper into any or every part.
Yeah, I'd like to start at the beginning, right? Where's the entrepreneurial spirit? Where's that coming from? How did you get started with that?
Yeah, I've got a good buddy of mine, Ryan, and we've been friends since sixth grade. To this day, we have missed very few calls, but we talk almost every day. And every day, it's a little bit of optimizing of our life, whether it's getting in better shape, whether it's, building. More being more with God, building businesses, building life that we want to build. And so I've always had this idea of like, I want to tweak things, but when I tweak it right away. I'm gonna fix it. I'm gonna see how it does. I'm gonna tweak it again. I'm gonna see how it does, tweak it again. And that's kind of been the story. So from a young age, I love the idea. Truthfully, I was working a job, and in high school, gosh, I think back then, well, I think minimum wage was probably similar, $7 an hour. Most people were making eight, and I was making like $14 an hour, which made me feel rich in high school, And I would start selling MacBooks the similar way that Michael Dell would. I'd post something on Craigslist that I didn't even have, and I'd price it fairly high. I'd get an offer, I'd negotiate the offer, I'd run and go find that MacBook, and I'd just make the difference of it. I'd say, if I've got a buyer, I'm gonna go ahead and do it. Pay $500, sell it for 700. Took me an hour and a half of work. It was great. And so I just started to think, and I'm like, this doesn't make sense. While I'm getting paid well, I could do substantially better with a lot less effort. And it's kind of in my control. Yeah. And so that was from the very start to why I was like, hey, I'd love to go in and be entrepreneurial in some sense. So
that's funny. That's funny how that starts. I have something similar. I sold comic books at age 10 and did other stuff. And then I worked at UPS while I was still in high school, essentially. And then I decided there was a lot, way too much work, way too hard too, right? I did that for 3 years. And then I started, went back and joined my agency, co-founding that and whatever. But yeah, it's funny how that started. But did you have somebody else around you that had an entrepreneurial background? For me, it was my stepfather. He was a merchant, right? So that's this kind of merchant being, sales being, has always been there.
You know, my dad and mom are both in the medical field.
Yeah.
And was probably, they never pushed me to go medical, thankfully, because I don't think I could have gone medical if I wanted to. But they always just pushed me like, you know, do what you love but whatever you do, do it really well.
Yeah.
And work ethic is the base of that. Like I still remember to this day, I'm 14 years old and my mom's like, get in the car, it's Saturday. And she spent her whole Saturday and we were applying for jobs everywhere, calling people, figuring out, because this was back in the interview process where like you went in and filled in the paper. Gosh, I'm selling a freaking I'm only 30, but went in, filled out applications, but it was all about like, nope, get in, get to work, understand. I mean, you learned work ethic at UPS. They're pretty militant there.
I know. And that was pen to paper too, right? I went there, I did my interview, and they were like, when can you start? I'm like, whenever that interview is over.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go right away.
So that was my first day. Okay. So, but you sold MacBooks, you created, while you were in school, you created a business with window cleaning, and you did Vita 5, is that correct?
Vita 5, yeah.
Vita 5?
Vending company.
Yeah. That, before we go deeper into what Vita 5 is, I don't see a red line there.
From a
topic, it's all over the place, right? Which, totally. Of course, like.
Yeah, right. So like, the MacBooks was great, right? I don't know if I would. I don't think I looked at it as entrepreneurial when I was back in that age. I was just like, it accidentally happened the first time. I was like, I want new technology. My parents won't let me have a laptop. I'm going to go buy a laptop. And then I was like, I'm kind of sick of this. So I'll sell it 2 weeks later. So it kind of came accidentally there. Then I got in school and was like, but it helped me to realize that there's so much opportunity out there. And then when I got into school, I'll talk first on Dorm Steps, which was this grocery delivery idea, which people would be like, oh my gosh, that could have been a massive success. It could have been, but we totally executed horribly, right? Like we were in school, we put school first, probably a smart thing. But like there's all these things like Uber Eats, and we've got Favor out in Texas and all these other ones that are massive billion-dollar companies or whatever. We just didn't set it up right. And it was truthfully like a massive failure. And I don't look at it as like, oh, I wish I didn't do it. I mean, it was the start to a lot of stuff. I learned the deeper work ethic, but also how hard it is to run a business.
Yeah.
And so I did that with a business partner. We're still really, really good friends to this day. And then I was like, I want to start something. I don't want to put a lot of cash up front. I want it to be higher ticket value. And I want to be able to make a certain amount of dollars per hour.
Yeah.
And so I worked an internship. And this is funny because I could have gone back to the restaurant that I was working at, but I did this internship for $10 an hour to try to get some experience and learn all this stuff. And after I got off, I'd run and go do my window cleaning jobs. And when I did that, I'm like, how does this make sense? I'm making more money in 2 hours than my whole 8-9 hour day. Yeah. And so I started scaling that. And then by, you know, a month in, I ended up hiring my first employer and I was doing no more work. I mean, I was answering calls, I was selling, I was doing all that stuff, but so I had this like massive failure, you know, $3 of gross profit on first. I mean, we didn't do anything modeling, didn't understand any of that. So then like window cleaning, which was really, really interesting. So then I was like, well, do I go get a job? Because I don't know if I'm going to be a window cleaner. I don't know if that's what I want to do with my life. So it was boom, 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 boom. I think I'm still deciding, what do I like?
So, and then eventually you started Weiler 5, right? How did that come about? How did you start with that one?
So, different business partner.
Yeah.
Really good friend of mine. Came to me and he was like, hey, I met this doctor. He sells pill vitamins in a pack with your name on the back. And he sells it for like $130. I asked him, this is an older gentleman, 70 something, whatever. I asked him, hey, why don't you do subscription? Why don't you put this online? Why don't you, you know, all these different ideas. And the guy's like, nah, I'm good. Really what he was trying to do is he was trying to get an internship. Say, hey, can I come and help you out? The guy was totally like, nope, I'm fine. Leave me alone. So he comes back to me and he's like, hey, let's go ahead and do this. So the idea evolved over time and it turned into gummy vitamins that we sold, these custom gummy vitamin packs.
Yeah.
Built that up fairly substantially. And then we decided, hey, we want to go into Target, Walmart, Kroger, all these stores throughout the nation. How do we do that? So then we launched a new eco-friendly pouch, and then we later launched a lower sugar product. So that was that's the
quick. Yeah, a different industry, right?
Totally different industry, yeah. And honestly, that business was totally different. Retail versus even online was substantially different.
Yeah. Where does the confidence come from? To jump industries like that and just start, right?
It would be nice to call it confidence. I would call it ignorance.
Well, that's still good. I mean, you still got to get it done, right? You still got to have the bravado to go in there, take advantage of a situation and do the work.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, like the way that my parents raised me was it's like, go figure it out, get it done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get an excuse. That's fine. Don't want to hear it. Let's go. You know, I'll be your listening ear and I'll tell you to go back out there and get it. And so I think at the end of the day, that was kind of the idea is like, figure it out. I'll tell you the first 6 months that business was rough. In fact, it may have been the first year. I'm probably forgetting at this point. It's been 8-9 years since the start of it.
Yeah.
But in the first 6 months, we raised a bit of money and it was my first year. I made $7,000. My second year, I made $17,000. Like there was no money. I lived in a 2-bedroom apartment with 5 guys who were all crushing it, like doing very well. I don't know why they live with me. I paid $550 a month for rent. It literally left me. I had no car payment. I didn't have anything else. It left me with $3 a day for food.
Wow.
And I remember still having the conversation with my parents. And I said, gosh, I'm eating tortillas and meat. Not a ton of meat, just some. I can't wait until I can put cheese on this. And there was a day, I think once I started making $17,000 a year, I started adding cheese on my tacos. But literally, yeah. This was like 2.5 years. And it was rough.
How did you get through that? Because not everyone or a lot of people will say, hey, after a month, I'm not eating tortilla and meat and whatever anymore. I'm done with this. This is too rough. I go get a 9-to-5 and that's it, right?
For sure.
So what made you stick around? Where's the grit coming from?
Craziness. Well, part of it, truthfully, is the fear of failure.
Yeah.
And it's easy to fail on your own and just quit and throw in the towel. But when you got someone else's money on the line, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
And so to me, it wasn't even an option. I mean, truthfully, if I look back on the timing there, I probably would have mentally been a lot healthier if I did do that. However, I don't think that I would have learned the number of things throughout it that have been able to bring me where I'm at today. And, you know, success in business is great, but there's so much more to all of this, right? It's fun to do well in business. I love winning in business, but I'm like, I always have to be humble. It's like, what's the foundation of life? For me, it's God. God's the foundation of anything. And then it comes my wife and family and all that stuff. Work will be there. So whatever I do in work, I want to do really, really well. But if I don't have the foundation right, those things crack easy. So,
yeah, it's that foundation what eventually got you through those. And Russ knows that I call it the Sunday nights, right? Because everybody can tell whatever story to yourself, right?
Yeah.
But that moment, Sunday night, is when honesty comes, right? When self-doubt comes, when it's like, oof, next week, how am I going to get through this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and during the time, I loved tacos. I don't eat tacos very often.
You better.
I had to.
So eventually you got through that though. How was it when you saw things picking up?
Yeah.
What was it feeling like?
It was probably, let's call it 6 months to a year. At this point, it's kind of a blur. And it was just like, keep pushing, keep pushing. It was just fix things. It was never sitting there. It was, I probably worked on average 6 days a week back then. Then I stopped because I was doing 7 days a week a lot. And that was probably the least productive thing for me. I didn't realize it, but it was like, you got to be in the office. I was in the office at the latest at 6, most days 5:30. And I'd stay till 6 or 7 at night. Mm-hmm. We had an office in downtown Dallas. This sketch office got almost kicked off my skateboard a number of times. I'd park a mile and a half away because it was, you know, whatever. But then there was this, you know, there's a number of basic things. I'll talk a lot about like the foundation of life or the foundation of a business or whatever it may be. I genuinely believe it is the most important thing. I've got people coming to me all the time. They say, I've got this business idea. And I'm like, if you don't have the foundation right, you'll never succeed. And it's not because you're a bad entrepreneur or a bad person or about any of this. But when you're weak in the foundation, like it says in the Bible, it says, if you build a house on sand, what's going to happen? We all know. And so I believe that in business as well. So we shifted the business model a little bit throughout time, which really, really helped. But we also looked at it, and there was a number of things from like our website was a custom built website. We had all this like custom over the top, like in school, they teach you to be so creative, but it's like, just change one little thing. And one of my favorite businesses to this day is Take Five Oil Chain. They just do an oil change in 5 minutes. That's it. Yeah. They charge you more. They just do it quick. And I'm like, well, that's great. Cause I remember wasting 2 hours every Saturday morning, not every, but the Saturday mornings with my dad. Yeah. So that was really just like push, 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 figure out what's working, test, learn, test, learn, test, learn. And we gradually got out. 18 months later, we built it to a multi seven-figure company where we got to a point where the only way to grow was to raise money or do something. So we decided to launch retail.
Yeah.
So.
That's fantastic. And now you are at Leaf Home.
I am, yeah.
Tell us about, first of all, that company, and second of all, your role in that company.
Yeah. So the place in between, I remember having a conversation with John and Sean. John is the CEO. Sean is chief human resource officer. Mm-hmm. And I just texted John. Him and I were friends back when he was at Truman's and I was doing Vitify. And I was like, dude, we got to catch up. You know, just sold the business, whatever. And then he's like, dude, yeah, let's hop on a call. So I hop on. I was a t-shirt and shorts guy every day. And up on, Sean's on. And I'm like, thought we were just catching up. Who's this guy? So I'm on LinkedIn looking over here. It's head of HR. And I'm like, damn, this company's massive too. I'm like, what is the deal? So I tell him, I say, hey, dude, what is this? Is this an interview? I said, I'm in like t-shirt and shorts. This is like, you know, anyways, long story short, John said, no, I've got this really interesting opportunity. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll go meet him up in person, go meet up with them, see. And it was really, really cool. The home improvement business, which I'll tell you a little bit about Leaf Home, and I'll bring back to the position and everything. So Leaf Home is really known for leaf filter. Most people out there are going to know of leaf filter. We're in 80% of the zip codes throughout the United States. We're, you know, this largest home improvement company in the nation. Really, really cool what has been built from something that I didn't even know was a business. And as I was talking to John, I said, dude, it's an awesome industry to be in. You go from consumer goods where you've got to figure out all these certain things, inventory control, supply chain, you know, how do you convert people on your site? Is your site converting? Like lifetime value of a customer? How do you keep people? Like there's just all these steps to then this, I don't want to call it easy, but simple model of you get leads, you get appointments, you sell them, and you install it. And I like to say that like it's that simple. It's obviously quite a bit more behind the scenes. I never want to be that big. But I was like, that's super interesting. And so we started talking more and more. And this is more about the role now of starting businesses within a larger organization. And truthfully, and I say this, and I asked someone from the team, I said, hey, is this okay if I say this? But I was like, I never thought I'd work for someone. Really not my thing. Then, you know, because if I've got an idea, I want to go do the idea and let's go and let's like same day, next day delivery. We don't wait around 6 weeks, 6 months, anything like that. So, but as we were talking about it, John was like, hey, there's this position that's more of like an entrepreneur. You've got the resources, so you don't have to worry about the funding. You don't have to worry about the technology. You don't have to worry about accounts payable or accounts receivable or blah, 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 blah. You get to worry about growing the business.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's pretty sweet. And it's something that I can kind of learn for myself. You know, I look at this as, what am I going to do in 10 years, 20 years, whatever down the line? And what kind of impact can I have? And that's where, you know, me and my wife, we talked about it for a while. Because I had already started another business that was doing incredibly well. And I told John, I was like, I don't know if it makes sense, man. And so anyways, it was you know, really cool how things all came together, and totally unexpected. Just was, you know, went from, I thought we were just catching up to, wait, now he's my boss's boss. I'm like, wait, we were just friends, but sweet, let's do it.
Yeah, I want to know it's one set of challenges to maintain your foundation when you're running your own show. It's a different set of challenges to maintain that same core foundation when you go to work for a, because it's not like you went to work for a tiny little company, right? Leaf Home is a gigantic company. How do you maintain that foundation even in that very different environment?
Yeah, well, I'll say this. I'm hardcore in my values. Mm-hmm. And if somebody wants to push me off of it, I never want to push anything on to someone else. But to me, I don't go away from the values. Now, I'll give you an example. I'm not traveling every week for work, period. I don't care who asks me. My boss calls me right now and he says, hey, you're going to start traveling every week. Awesome. Count that as my notice. Like, that serious. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And people go, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to take my job. Well, fortunately, it's not that I don't care. I care so much. And that's what I'm going to put the values in. Like, God is the foundation of my life. As I start to say that, like most people would say, you do not talk about God at work. Well, I do. It's a foundation of my life. It's a very, very important factor. If I was sitting here and there was someone that was in need, a homeless person walks by, they say, I need money. You do need money. You're right. But what you need more than money is you need the ability to work and the ability to hold yourself sustainable. I think it's a disservice for me to not help that person out. Mm-hmm. And so I find it that the stronger I've gotten in my values, the more successful I've been able to be, but also the more real. Because truthfully, when I started the business, I used to have investors come and I would just say what they wanted to hear. Well, and this is, it's not the best thing. And maybe people don't take this as a piece of advice, but there's certain things I will go hardcore on. And I don't care who's asking the question. And this may be things in business too, where it's like, oh, should we look at it like this? And I'm like, this is the way that I view it. And this. I'm not going to, if they come to me and say, hey, you need to do something unethically, they're obviously not going to come to me and say that. But if I genuinely believe there's something unethical, mm-hmm. I'm not implementing it. You can have someone else implement it. And it's become something that I say that in one way, but I mean it in a loving way, right? Like, we got to build a business that's sustainable. We got to build something that like is meaningful and like people want. And so, but at the end of the day, I look at it and I'm like, I had a friend who died at 24, got hit by a truck. My friend's mom who died at suicide at 54. My grandpa died at 84. I don't know when I'm going. And so if I make a decision today just to make them happy today and tomorrow, but not for the longest term, then that's not the right way to do it. Because the longest term could be today. I could be gone tomorrow. Yeah. And so I've had this saying within myself, and it's just the greatest good for the longest term. I'm not here to just make a dollar today. It's, let's just be great people. Let's lead people the right way. And so that's just become a hardcore value of mine. So now I'll say that is challenging because I've got some people that I've talked with and they're like, yeah, I'm actually getting fired the next day. Maybe I feel comfortable enough where I can live with my values. And I think that my values align with the company's.
Yeah, I can imagine. Not everybody likes to hear, let's call it truth, right?
Yeah.
And if that doesn't correlate with whatever their interests are, people tend to get a little difficult. Yeah.
Totally. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
So what is in What's in plan for you? Where are you going next? What are you doing next? Because I heard somewhere between the lines that there's a new business idea. What are you working on?
Yeah, well, so right now we've got Be Durable, which is a garage flooring company. And for me, I believe in building a business to a place that's sustainable and then handing it to someone that can take it to the next level. I've been successful at certain levels. I don't know. I told John, I said, man, the ignorance of me at 22 would have thought I could have been a CEO of a multi-billion dollar company. Now realizing, I don't know. I don't think I could, especially today. But it's just different personalities. So like for me, it's I'm fully focused. A lot of people say, what's the next business idea? I want to hear the next thing. What are you guys going to do? And I'm like, no distractions.
Yeah.
if I start looking there, I'll miss the things that are super important here. So for me, I look at this and I'm like, hey, I want to build this as a company that can be national.
Yeah.
And we can make great margin. We can help a ton of people. We can build a business that's something that people look after. And then we'll start looking at the next thing, right? Obviously something in home improvement, you know. Yeah, it's very focused.
No, I think a lot of people miss that though, right? A lot of people are like, yeah, what is the next cool thing? What's the next buzzword? How can I add whatever AI or Web3 or whatever the cool buzzword is today? And I think people miss sometimes, I've heard you say it now twice in different ways, right? Is you were, you know, pushing through with the vitamin company, even though it was a struggle to build it to the point where it was sustainable, to just see that through to where it could continue. And you're at the same place now where it's like, yeah, we're pushing, but I want to get it to that point. And that means you got to put the blinders on sometimes and just keep your head down and keep going and keep pushing. Right?
No, and you helped me to realize it's like, I want to build to a place of sustainability.
Yeah.
It's not saying it's going to run on its own, right? Like there's got to be a leader there.
Yeah.
But it totally is. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Good stuff.
I had a very, very brief football career. And my knees gave out like more or less immediately. But I was a running back. And my coach, an old dude, he used to tell me, as long as your feet are underneath your face, keep running.
There you go.
Right? And that's what it kind of reminded me, what you were telling us, right? Keeping the blinders on and just keep doing with what you're doing unless it stops, right?
Well, distractions are the death of it.
Go ahead, sorry?
Distractions are the death of these businesses.
What are the three tips that you would give a young entrepreneur who wanted to start a business?
First thing is, I stick to this hardcore, but values is the most important thing. And I say that through every means of it. Probably would not suggest doing a business partner. Me and my business partner are best friends, okay? Still to this day. We had, if you look at like, we didn't have a breakup. We didn't have anything. We are both like as happy as it goes. It was very special. Like, I mean, that sounds kind of cheesy, but like I look at a business partnership as a marriage. Mm-hmm. So if you don't want to marry that person, not me, literally, but kind of, because I was spending more time with him than I was my wife for a lot of it. Yeah. And the reason why it worked so well is our values were like dead on and still are like dead on. So that's one of the most important things. The second most important thing, I think, is figuring out the business model. So a lot of people want to hear like, get into AI, and they want like the answer of that stuff. I am like, start way before that. What's the business model? And what I always think of is, how are these people making money? And so everything that I go through, how is the agency making money? How is Leaf Home making money? How is the supplier making money? How is the supplier making money? How is, you know, everything that comes in, and can it, and then I think the third piece would be, can it build to what you actually want? Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is I love business. Business is like fun for me. I'm still up Saturday mornings at 5 a.m. Like I tell my boss all the time, I'm like, when I get irritated at work, understand it's passion. If I didn't have passion, I just say, whatever, do what you want, whatever. But I'm like genuinely passionate and I feel like it's, you know, it's mine. Let's grow this. Let's do whatever. But I think the biggest thing is like, what do you want in lifestyle? There's nothing wrong with a lifestyle business. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with wanting to grow a business to $1 billion. But why do you want to grow it to $1 billion? Why? Like for me, it was in the early days when I was 22, I wanted nice cars. I wanted a big house. Could care less about any of that at this point. I'm like, car, I got one car between me and my wife. We got a basic car. There's nothing to it. I was telling someone earlier, I was like, I had a 2008 Honda POS and it was a piece of junk. It had cigarette holes in it. I don't smoke. Someone else. It had 100,000 miles on it. The thing would wobble when it's going 35 miles an hour. But I'm like, I didn't care. The only reason I got rid of it was because I didn't have AC in the summer and I can't take my kids in there because my wife's worried about them dying in the back. So I was like, okay, I'll sell it for $2,000. But like, for me, what's really important is, again, back to the values, like what is the most important thing for me in life, right? And I've said God for a lot of years, right? But like, have I put that at truly, like, am I serving? Is he in my life daily? You know, all that stuff. The next thing is my wife. And I always say my wife before family, because if I can't serve God, I can't serve my wife. If I don't serve God and I don't serve my wife, I can't serve my kids.
Yeah.
People always say, hey, make sure you put your kids first. And I say, the only time you put your kids first is when you're going through a divorce. Then you start putting your kids first because you backed out on one. So now you've got to put it on. But before that, you put God first, then you put your wife, because if you serve that and you serve there, and then all the other things. One thing I'd love to share is I heard this quote the other week and it's really stuck with me. And it said, I think it was the CEO of Coke, or maybe it's a past one or something. And he said, in life, you have to juggle 5 different things. It's hard to juggle them. And you've got your spiritual, you've got your relationship, you've got your kids, you've got, let's just call it fitness, and you've got work. Okay. Of those, 4 of them are glass balls. And 1 of them is a rubber ball, meaning 1 will bounce back up, but others won't.
Yeah.
And the one that's a rubber ball is work. If you let your spiritual or you let your spouse or you let your kids go for a certain amount of time, those break. And so for me, while it is a super important and it's something I'm super passionate about with work, it's something, and it really hit me because I'm like, that's the CEO of Coke. It's a massive corporation, but he understands it.
Yeah.
So.
That's fantastic. Dinner guests. If you were able to invite anybody, dead or alive, who would be the 5 people that you'd invite?
Oh gosh, 5. One's hard. Yeah. Jesus, number 1, dead or alive. I'm not gonna be able to give you 5, but Craig Rochelle, he's the leader of Life Church. Incredible leadership podcast. Gosh. Other than that, I have to cherry pick single things. There's not a whole lot of people I look up to that have everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, like Craig Rochelle is the person I usually say, someone that's alive. And he's the senior pastor at Life Church. He's built one of the biggest church organizations that a lot of people have never heard of. He gives away a ton of free resources to all these churches out there. They started the Bible app that has close to 1 billion users. Has been valued at something near like $5 billion and have continued to just give it away for free. He's in like incredible shape. Looks like he has a great family, all the stuff. So like all those things together, I'm like, I would just say all the things that he has together in one is like the ideal, but I don't know celebrities. So that's it.
Right. It could be anybody. For me, it was my great grandmother, for example. She was great, great grandmother. She was born early 1800 something, but she had a university degree and they eventually had the first car in town and whatever. So, you know, it could be whoever you want, right?
That's awesome.
It's better.
I'd choose some of the people that have passed in my life. You know, the other 3 then I'd put as Buddy Gabe, passed at 24, friend's mom, Cheryl, and then, my grandpa, just to kind of chat with them and see, you know, hey, what's life about, you know?
Yeah. That is fantastic.
Man, that's a great dinner too. I got a long list of all our guests have their dinner guests, and I'm like, I gotta do some dinners here. These are awesome. It's fantastic.
That's awesome.
Hey Nick, it's been an absolute pleasure. You've been a super inspiration. Thanks for joining our show.
I hope you're
doing well. All the best to your family, and thanks for joining our show.
Thank you guys.